Welcome to the first anniversary edition of Marketplace Kingdom, the conference call and podcast series from the Empowerment Institute at One Rock Strategics. Our ongoing purpose is to provide biblical perspectives and practical strategies for understanding the times and advancing God's kingdom right where you are. We're committed to presenting thought-provoking conversation and encouragement by bringing you guests who share their own stories and insights on being authentically Christian, demonstrating Christ's love and lordship in their own professional and personal spheres of influence. We want to share ideas with you that you can use to bring Christ's redeeming and transforming power to your world in your day-to-day lives. I'm DJ Swanger, and my co-host is Pastor Dave Heisen. Whether you're with us live or listening to the podcast replay here in the U.S. or anywhere around the world, we're glad you're with us. In this unique episode, we're bringing you something of a retrospective. We decided to review some of the recurring themes that came up in our podcast conversations over the past year and the ways they tie together and point us all toward a bigger picture. It seemed appropriate after a year to spend some time looking back in order to move forward. Well, Dave, it is our birthday.
Happy birthday!
Yes! Our 1 year anniversary as a podcast team. Looking back, we've done 24 episodes of Marketplace Kingdom, what started out as just a conference call. If you could pick out some highlights that impacted you from our conversations over the last year, what would they be?
Norman Christopher really grabbed my imagination. Leading out of servanthood, leading out of giving, and then Ted Coleman's concept of a new way to do business by listening and following the lead of the Holy Spirit. Those were dynamite. I'm thinking of some of the stories that came out of Ted Coleman and his call for the connection between serious business strategies mixed with the discernment given as a gift from the Holy Spirit and prophetic understanding making its way into the boardroom. One thing that stood out to me was that good businessmen can really be successful, right? If they just work hard, they follow the rules, they jump in financial opportunities, they are stubborn when they need to be stubborn and giving when they need to be giving, that's one thing. But a businessman who allows the Holy Spirit to lead in the boardroom and even lets the Holy Spirit set direction when direction is not necessarily understandable, like if we have an even playing field out there, which direction do we take, to let the Holy Spirit actually give direction and then follow him no matter what, that's intriguing. And Ted steered me on a track that I've applied personally to leading at the church I'm at. And it's some personal ways in things I'm following emphasis on. Because when the Holy Spirit speaks, I need to not doubt him. I need to take next steps and believe that God has spoken this to me and to us because he's serious about it. And we don't need to know all the whys. We just need to be obedient and do. So that's cool. I really enjoyed that.
I think the thing that I took away was that being a Christian business person is about more than just applying principles. It is about applying principles, and it is about doing things in a way that's honoring to God. But beyond that, that believers can actually have an edge in the marketplace through a moment-by-moment dependency and openness to God's voice. that whole idea of listening prayer and listening to the voice of God now as I'm making my business decisions.
Exactly. And expectation that God speaks, right? That's huge. I really enjoyed, if we set what Ted Tallman taught us over against what Fulton Sheen taught us. And Fulton said, we need to have a global perspective because the kingdom of God is global. And we need to join the work of the Lord globally. So we need to invest in the United States, because he's speaking to us here, in a way that impacts globally and helps and aids in the areas that the kingdom of God needs to advance. And that God brings blessing to that. So what I'm understanding is, if you got a businessman sitting in the congregation and he's wondering, how can my business that makes nuts and bolts, how can we impact the movement of the kingdom of God? Well, Ted taught us that that businessman needs to invite the Holy Spirit into his boardroom decision making. And Fulton Sheen taught us that that businessman needs to look at how to influence globally and how can his nut and bolts business start to create avenues of success globally and even diversify from his own American success into greater wealth across the globe. And my horizons got farther and farther away, right? I just started to see so much bigger and realize that the Holy Spirit is not just about my little success and my little world here, but that he's globally empowered and he sets things in motion at a global scale.
Yeah, one thing that came out in our conversation with Fulton was the concept that, you know, God's will is that all should prosper.
Yes.
Yep. You know, it's not the law of the jungle, but that we can conduct business in a way that honors him in how we deal with creation.
Yep.
And we can conduct business in ways that honors him in how we deal with one another. Making a deal that causes everybody in the deal to prosper.
Amen.
And that is an upside-down approach to what is often taught in business schools.
And it was a challenge, and I think it was challenging to us with these podcasts. Here we are functioning mainly in the church sphere, right, or the religious mountain. We need to mobilize, influence, and send into the other mountains because we're the ones, us Christians, that are motivated by the power of the Holy Spirit, us that have the heart of Christ, we're the ones that are going to build bridges, that are going to connect with people groups that nobody else can connect to, that are going to see whole countries released from turmoil. We're the ones that are going to speak a voice of servant leadership and not personal, powerful gain. We need to be the ones who are sent.
Well, you know, we started out the series talking about the church beyond the walls.
Yep.
You know, the church beyond the four walls of our institutional building's home base.
Mm.
And one of the things that came up in all of that is that, in a sense, we need to send people out. In another sense, the majority of the church, of believers, the body of Christ, are already out there. They're cops, they're computer programmers, they're artists, they are musicians. They're all of these different types of people plying their trades and interacting with folks in these diverse and varied communities. And what can be the impact, not just of bringing the gospel in those contexts, in those communities. But what can be the impact, like Ted talked about God in the boardroom, of listening to God for fresh ideas on what I'm going to do as a business person? Fresh ideas that are innovative in terms of a product line. Could God give you inspiration for a new innovation in the way you do what you do, or in what you're going to produce and bring to market? Does the God of the universe really care about what we bring to market in terms of goods and services? That gives believers a major edge.
I wasn't part of the discussion with Carol Brown, but in listening, something was happening while I was listening to Carol Brown. My spirit was beginning to touch on real things that my brain did not have the capacity, because I didn't have the intellectual experience. But I realized that my spirit could have experience and gain spirit knowledge that my brain could catch up with. And all of a sudden I realized that perhaps I was spiritually much more intelligent than I was physically intelligent or mentally intelligent. What do you think of that?
I think we perceive the world and we evaluate our situations, our circumstances, and whatever, normally through our five sense gates. We process the information that's coming in through the five sense gates, and we register it. And that's the data that we use to form opinions and such like. And yet, even brain science tells us that we're in the process as humans of registering billions of pieces of discrete information per second, that our brains take in billions of discrete pieces of information per second. And we don't have a grid for actually processing it. So it just gets stored. It's there. And the Holy Spirit can activate us in ways that take advantage of or give us direct download of information. You know, we don't see with our five sense gates, we don't perceive with our five sense gates everything that's going on around us. We need help.
We need help
to process everything that's going on around us. But there's something in us, there's something in our nature, the way we're created, that makes us on some level aware of the bigger picture. And God, at times, will open our eyes to that bigger picture, like the prophet's servant who was freaking out because he and, I think it was Elisha, were standing on a hill looking at Sennacherib's armies getting ready to rain destruction down on Jerusalem, and he's freaking out about what's going to happen. And Elisha prays that God would open his eyes. And when that occurred, he sees angelic armies out there battling this physical army of Sennacherib's invading forces. He sees the bigger picture.
Yep.
He sees the reality that exists on a larger scale. And if we can take that same type of sight and apply it in our day-to-day lives, and realize that the God of the universe cares about the details of our day-to-day lives. That provides us a basis for an amazing level of insight. To be like the sons and daughters of Issachar, understanding the times and knowing what to do in ways that are unique from the perceptions and answers offered by anybody else. Then our challenge is to frame a different conversation.
Don, you and I, when we started, we really looked at the church in the United States. And quite frankly, I felt like I was being a little critical. And I haven't become uncritical. And why? Why am I critical? It's because of this. It's because sitting in any given church in the United States, any solid, biblically based Christian church that believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came to take away the sins of the world, and it's sitting in any given Sunday is a gold mine, a high yielding gold mine, even if there's 200 people in that church, right? Because these people sitting there, they're not just teachers or janitors or blue-collar workers or mechanics, right? Or factory workers, or in Minnesota, working at the MyPillow factory. They're not just those people. They're not just business starters or guys working in the corporate settings or financial planners. They have eyes to see in faith what is unseen. They have ears to hear the working of the Holy Spirit to prophetically give them wisdom about what to do when others can't even have a clue what to do. They have the Spirit of God guiding them, giving them intelligence and understanding far beyond their own capacities. And yet, the church relegates incredible people to its own religious activity. Come to this. And we don't mobilize. Our discipleship structures aren't designed to tell people who they are and then mobilize them and send them out and then support them as they go and to walk alongside. So really, why we began, I think, at the place we did was because, can you imagine, and I think we said it then and I'll say it again, can you imagine here, a year after we've done this, if some churches and some leaders actually say, you know what? I have a gold mine here sitting right in front of me. I'm not going to force these people into my game. I am going to see what the Lord has done in them, and I'm going to send them out. I'm going to equip them. I'm going to speak the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to release them into the seven mountains, and I'm going to celebrate and walk alongside and get to build a strong prayer foundation. I'm going to give them the scriptural foundation they need. I'm going to begin to be apostolic, and I'm going to send, and I'm going to send, and I'm going to send, and I'm going to walk alongside. I'm going to build a framework for people to not go out alone. Can you imagine if just a few churches did that, realize the gold mine that they have sitting there every Sunday? Regions across the globe would be transformed. Whole cities. Whole regions. And that doesn't happen overnight. I know it takes time. In the city I'm in, it takes time. I started a project 4 years ago, and finally, 2 weeks ago, had some breakthrough on it with our city. Sometimes it takes time, right? But let me tell you something that happens over time. When I arrived in the city I'm in, there were 4 witch covens in our area, in the 2 sister cities that we're in. In our school district, 4 witch covens. We started praying every Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. And just lifting high the banner of Jesus Christ as Lord, speaking his name, declaring him as king over our region, over our cities. Now there are 0 witch covens in our 2 cities. There are around us. But in the cities that we've given authority to speak and to stand, the witch covens have left. Evidence that there is a strong power and a presence that this gold mine in every church has, that we need to send, and send that from where we're at out into the world around us, and watch God take back ground, and watch God put Christians in places that transform the world. Not just make Christians rich, that's not what this is about, but that put Christians in places of influence for the transformation of the world around us. That's why you and I are in this, Don. That's what we're doing this for.
Yes. You know, I think Norman Christopher touched on some of that.
He did.
In the idea of leading with servanthood.
Yes.
Tell me a bit about how that struck you.
Norman was interesting, and he came at it from academia, and that grabbed my heart. Usually, academia give you principles, business principles that you can enter into any situation in, and there's software, right, that Norman talked about that is on the forefront of any business, and you need to learn this software, and then you'll be successful. But Norman gave biblical principles, and he applied them to the business structure, such that the Christian can take who they are in practical principle and apply it to secular organizations and watch the blessing of God and the power of the cross, the principles of the power of the cross, of servanthood, of humility, of unconditional love and grace, and watch how applying those principles to any business will increase the influence of that business in its sphere of influence. I love that.
And the first words that come out of his mouth in a business encounter are, "How can I serve you?" His stance is, "How can what I do bring value to what you do?"
You matter.
Yes.
What God is doing in you matters. I want to see what God is doing in you be maximized. That's behind his passion, and I love it.
And it's the same principle that is applied by Ron Jimerson when he's out in the streets working in the nonprofit sector to see businesses built up, to see changes on a neighborhood level. And he's not coming in with an agenda that he wants to impose. He's not some expert coming in telling people how to bring about change in their lives. He's about going out and listening to them and valuing where they're at as a starting point for what he's going to do. And that, again, is an upside-down approach to what's been done in the social service industry, what's been done in community organizing. It's not about somebody with all the answers, some expert or guru coming in and making a lot of promises, most of which won't be delivered on. It's about empowering people to be who they were created to be, with the dignity that God sees them with. That's a very different approach to providing leadership and influence.
Amen. I love how Ron took those principles into an action plan. The action groups, he said we have a number of them, and you can contact them, and they will come and do an assessment in your area. 7 of them have been active and engaging, finding the assets of any given area and mobilizing the people within them, watching whole regions be shifted, and people beginning to step into their identities, I love the concept of putting the concept of identity in Christ into actual community transformational activity. After I got off the phone with Ron, I thought, man, this guy knows that the power that transforms a community is by the working of the Holy Spirit. The power that breaks down cultural differences is the insight and discernment that comes only through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I agree. He's just right that when we add the power of the Holy Spirit into community transformation, things start to happen at a whole new level. I'm excited about that.
Well, over the course of the last year, I mean, we've had some awesome guests on. Ted Kalman, we've talked about. We had Tom Sudik doing business in India.
Yep.
And really living out biblical principles in a context that is not a dominantly Christian context, but is dominantly Hindu and Buddhist and whatever, but really making an impact on the communities where his business exists there. And going global with a kingdom vision for being in the marketplace. With Norman Christopher, who is, as you said, an academic, and is probably one of the more influential people that most folks have never heard of in terms of the sustainability movement in the nation. Tim Vink talking about how Jesus led life on life, coming alongside, mentoring, and doing church the way Jesus did, that Jesus was the model for the church and the church isn't the model for the church. And I loved that line. You had a chance to sit and talk with Tim Cosby about coaching as really a new operating system, a different operating system from the way we normally think of exercising leadership and influence. What he calls full spectrum leadership.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about that conversation.
Well, what I loved about that conversation is that really we need to trust that the Holy Spirit knows what he's doing. Right, Don? There's a sin that I find myself. Sometimes I forget that I'm not God. Have you ever had that? That I think that I'm in charge of my world, right? But God needs to be God, right? And so we need to allow God to really show the beauty that he's made in people. And then the coaching concept. And I love what happens when you apply it in a church setting or in a business setting is to find out the beautiful things that God has done and then coach that person to excel and thrive in what God has done. I love that concept. So it respects the image of God. It respects life. It values the prophetic word that the Lord God gives the individual, right? It celebrates that God does not create mistakes or junk and that he puts people in our way because he wants us and that personality to work together instead of a worldly concept of this is what we're going to do. Everybody has to fit into it. You fit into us. What I think this coaching concept says is God has established a framework. By the work of the Holy Spirit, he has put his people in place. We can work with what he's given, coach people to maximize the work of the Lord within them and see them excel and thrive and be much more effective in the world around. Yeah, I love that concept. It's a cooperation with the Holy Spirit that I long for.
Yeah, and we've released a couple of additional resources, and there's resources available online for people to access about how to listen to God, how to hear from him, what that means in the here and now. I guess one of the things that strikes me as we're looking forward, you and I have been talking offline a bit about an upcoming prayer summit that the Christian Reformed Church is having out in California at the end of March here. And I'm struck by the passion for prayer that I see in some of the people I've talked to about this upcoming summit. The hunger for covering real life with prayer and creating a place for the presence of God to inhabit our lives as we go about business in the rhythm of the day-to-day. We talk about creating a prayer movement. And I think that's probably the biggest challenge for churches or organizations, businesses. I'm really not interested in creating a bunch more events. I'm interested in creating a culture where prayer is an integral part of the rhythm of life. Paul says, pray without ceasing. And we have a tendency to kind of blow that off and say, well, that's you know, hyperbole. Nobody can pray without ceasing. But my question is, can't they? Really? If we tweak our understanding of what prayer is, and we do away with the idea that prayer is this one-way conversation where we come before God and we hit the ground running and we give him our agenda and our bullet list of the things we want him to do, and some of us even have a tendency to tell him how to go about doing what we want him to do. If we move away from that and look at prayer as opening ourselves to his presence and opening our territory to his presence, and then hush and listen, and then go back and report what happens when he shows up in those situations. There's a contagion that's released. There's a fire that starts to spread as people become passionate about and hungry for seeing that happen in their context. Then it's not about a program. It becomes a movement. It becomes a group of people that's growing, who are crazy enough to rip the roof off in order to get at their healing. We become passionate about the presence of God. Then we become passionate about spending time in prayer. Because we're spending intimate time with somebody who is madly in love with us. And it doesn't become a chore to spend that time. Can I go prayerfully about the business of everything that I do in life? What do you think about that?
First, personally, if I grew up in the Dark Ages, I would have been a mystic because they wouldn't have been able to categorize me, right? I just would have lived out in some monastery someplace. Because what you're saying is actually quite insane, Don. What you're actually saying is insane. It is not logical. It's not practical. You're not giving us clear steps that we can take in order for the church to advance. You're not helping the critical thinker. So you're not proving that this is true, that the presence of God actually makes a difference. You're not giving objective, undeniable proof that the presence of God actually makes a difference. You're speaking as a mystic, right? And what mystic actually was able to do anything other than go live in a monastery someplace? So what kind of insane person are you, Don, to actually believe that when we bring the presence of God into our spheres of influence, that our spheres will change? Isn't that just allegory? Isn't that unmeasurable? And isn't that true maybe to get the Bible going, but that's not necessarily true today? Isn't the Holy Spirit here just to help us with our characters and so that we're good people and that our goodness will impact the world around us? You're actually saying something that is contrary to rationality. Do you realize that, Don? You do, don't you? You still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
But here, there's a point. The reason I'm saying this is people listening to us are probably thinking, what, are they crazy? They're actually saying that when we apply the presence of God to everyday world, that we can actually be aware and speak the presence of God into our world and it will change our situations. That's a worldview concept that probably the majority of those listening to us would think is really out there. But I am totally, I'm on that page. And how could I be on that page when I live in a world that is Western and a product of the Enlightenment and that has a secular educational academia and a secular college system that completely denies the reality of the presence of God and builds a whole system of global history and universal history that says that God has done nothing except perhaps starting us at a big bang, but has sits back and watches us and has no impact or influence in our world. That's how people have been educated. And now we're saying to them that, and we believe that all you have to do is create a landing strip for the presence of the Holy Spirit, and He transforms your reality. He transforms your home. He transforms your school, your church, your city, your business, your government. And what's wrong with us that we believe this? The fact is that it's true. We are inviting Christians to be biblical Christians, not religious, not American religion, not American evangelical religion. We're calling Christians to be biblical, balanced in word and in power. We're calling Christians to rise up and speak the presence of the name of Jesus into their businesses, into their worlds, into their schools, into their cities, into their families. We're calling for Christians to realize the authority that they've been given to be fruitful and multiply, right there in Genesis chapter 1, to take the kingdom of God out into this world and have authority and dominion as rulers in this world. We're actually saying that that's feasible and that's possible, and it's transformational, and we believe it, we experience it, and we're waiting and asking for there to be a revival in the church, for them to step up and participate in it. So, in a sense, Don, I think we perhaps are a little crazy in the world sense, but totally sane in the power of the Holy Spirit. What do you think of that?
Well, the thing that jumps to mind as you're talking is John the Baptist.
Good, good. Yep.
Speaking a message, repent.
Amen.
Change, turn around, shift directions entirely because the kingdom of God is at hand.
Amen.
And the current world system with all of its paradigm-driven ways of thinking and acting is passing away.
Amen.
It's failed. It's crumbling. The axe is already laid to the root of the tree.
Amen.
The other thing that came to mind as you were speaking was a line from the movie The Matrix. Buckle your seatbelt, Toto. Kansas is about to go bye-bye.
Yeah.
And here's where Kansas starts to go bye-bye. The perspective that we're talking about is a fundamentally reformed world and life view. It looks back to a biblical worldview that says we don't live in a two-story universe where spirit is out there and God is out there somewhere, and at best he wound up the clock and then let it go, and then we're stuck here in the material world with the data from our five sense gates and the information that we can see and verify scientifically with taste, touch, sight, etc. But that there is, in fact, more. That the materialist worldview is giving a limited and therefore inaccurate picture of what's really going on. So it's not irrational, but it's beyond what human perception all on its own can give. I personally want to get away from even using the term supernatural versus natural. I live in a bigger world. We live in a bigger world. And denial of portions of that world doesn't mean that they're not there. It doesn't mean that that information out there doesn't exist. It doesn't mean that the influences out there don't exist. It simply means that we've allowed ourselves to function blindly, and God is in the process of opening our eyes to see the bigger picture. And beyond that, he's in the process of granting us, in Christ, the authority to bring about transformation because he is active in the details of this world. He loves his creatures. He loves his creation. And he doesn't have a plan B. He has chosen to work through us to demonstrate his good purposes. That's why prayer matters. Because he made things that way. Yeah, there are people who are going to think that that's nuts, but you can't argue with results. And that's the power of story. When people start sharing the stories of what's happening when lives are changed, when people start sharing the stories about what happens when businesses and organizations are transformed. When people start seizing the moment in the name of Jesus, then the kingdom of God is at hand. This is an example. I was on the phone this morning, and I've had a lot of people in my Facebook feed, in personal conversations, who are just beside themselves over this whole immigration ban thing as a policy here in the States, and talking about the plight of the Syrian refugees. So I'm on the phone this morning, and I'm talking with this guy in California about a completely unrelated issue and trying to schedule a time to chat with him later. And he happens to say, you know, I can't during those dates because I'm going to be in Egypt and then I'm going to be in Berlin. Oh, really? Well, what are you going to be doing there? Well, the Lord has laid it on my heart that the biggest problem right now that we as the church face with regard to the Syrian refugees is that there are thousands upon thousands of people who are turning away from Islam and are hungry for something else because of what they've gone through. And there's nobody on the ground ministering to these people right where they are. Nobody who speaks Arabic, who's able to go in and minister in those places. So I'm going. And I have some friends and family in Egypt who are in the process of mobilizing, and we're putting together a team that's going to go in. And it's going to start discipling people right in the camps. So there are 4 million people on the ground in Europe. And it's an absolutely fertile place for a move of the kingdom of God. And there are virtually no workers involved. So this is what we're hearing, and this is what we're doing.
I love that. That's putting boots on the ground where the Holy Spirit is showing up. It's almost like the A-team, ready to go wherever the Spirit of God is. Right? Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. You know, we pray every morning at our church, and we, for some reason, felt called to pray for Elizabeth Warren, just because she's been in the news, right? And so we live in Minnesota, but when the Spirit caught us up in His presence, He showed us Elizabeth Warren as a little girl. And I don't think it's appropriate for me to talk about what we saw, but He brought us there. Mm-hmm. He showed us her in college, showed us her marriage, showed us her concept of education. We didn't know any of this about it, and I've been spent a little bit of time researching as much as I could and found that the Spirit is pretty accurate, what He was showing us. And we spoke in the Spirit, we prayed in the Spirit, meaning we let the Spirit lead us, and we put our hands, spiritually speaking, of course, on her. We spoke over her. All of a sudden, prayer became more than just a bunch of words that we hope maybe are magical, and if God likes them enough, maybe He'll turn His will toward them, you know. All of a sudden, we found out that prayer was a participation in the presence. prayer was not limited by geographical or mental barriers. Prayer was a cooperation where God was at work, and cooperation where the Spirit wanted us to go. We could then have influence in something that we didn't need to know her. We didn't need to be involved in Elizabeth Warren's life. We didn't need to have influence in the cabinet or be Democratic leaders in the Senate. We just needed to be involved in the presence of the Holy Spirit and watch how he wanted to speak and change and transform Elizabeth Warren's spirit. I'm excited to see the impact it will have. I'm excited to see how that will bring transformation, because the kingdom of God is at work. We need to move where he is moving. And there weren't any politicians in the room. Some of the smartest people in Minnesota were in the room. Some of the most successful businessmen in Minnesota were in the room. But they don't know her. And all of a sudden, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, we are all caught up and speaking into her spirit and having influence on her soul, seeing a shift in the power of God in her life. Now, when that will actually happen, we're not sure, but we saw it taking place prophetically. And that's the beauty of the kingdom of God. That's God at work catching his church up. Everybody who belongs to the kingdom of God can join him in his work. And we need to see the church released. We need to see the church unleashed, sent. We need to let the apostolic gift of the church be released and for people to be sent and join where the Spirit of God is at work and speak his presence, whether we are in that geographical region or not. Speak his presence. Last week in a prayer meeting, I was with a group of people that went to Syria, and we also went to Belgium, where Syrian refugees are arriving at thousands upon thousands. And we spoke the presence of Christ there. And the Lord was showing us mothers and children, godly people, and petrified Muslims as well, and the compassion of the Lord upon those people. Well, you know what? That's going to change that situation, right? We're the ones that are joining the movement of the kingdom of God. And we need to do it. And the church needs to rise up. And it is time.
Just coming full circle, this is all really about the kingdom and God's presence and lordship in every aspect, every sphere of life, in every part of the globe, and really releasing his people to be who he has created them to be for such a time as this. You've been listening to Marketplace Kingdom, a conference call and podcast series from the Empowerment Institute and One Rock Strategics. Our topic for this episode was Seeing the Big Picture, Looking Back and Moving Forward. This conversation was recorded on February 13, 2017. Marketplace Kingdom and the Street Faith Podcast Channel are both productions of One Rock Strategic Media, and are made available for free online listening, download, and non-commercial redistribution under a 2017 Creative Commons copyright. Be sure to like and follow Marketplace Kingdom online at www.onerockstrategics.podomatic.com. We encourage you to share our podcasts with your friends and connections. You can also follow us on our Facebook pages, Empowerment Institute, and One Rock Strategics. If you're a Twitter user, you can follow our activity by going to @DJSwanger, and you can join the conversation at #OneRockTrot. Costs for our podcast and ministry activities are covered by the generous support of listeners like you. For information on how you can sponsor a podcast or donate to our work, visit our new website at sevenmountainalliance.webs.com. That's sevenmountainalliance.webs.com. And to find out how you can have Dave Huizenga or myself as a speaker for your organization or event, email us at empowermentfriends@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. So until next time, I'm DJ Swanger.
I'm Dave Huizenga.
Have a great day and a blessed life. And remember, you are important to Jesus and to His kingdom, right where you are.